Lots of challenges to contend with. For instance, I've got sunburn. And you sustain injuries on a holiday like this. So I've got some sunburn. I got injured while eating crayfish. There's all kinds of things you have to look out for there. just joking. It's been really, really good. Really good family time as well. It's good to see Abigail playing and enjoying her grandparents a lot. So that was a blessing. And obviously David meeting his grandparents. So it was really good. But it's good to be back. And we're excited about the new year. Let me just plug this in here. And excited for what God has prepared for us for this year. Let's see if we can get this to work. Okay. Let's before we pray. Isn't it great for a new year? It's funny. There's always a clean slate. You know, there's always an opportunity to dream, opportunity to look forward to what is ahead. I don't know. Do you guys do New Year's resolutions? Maybe, but they've already gone out the window. I suppose sometimes they don't last very long. But we've got hopes and we've got dreams, we've got aspirations, the stuff that we trust in God for, the things that we're putting our faith out for, and that's really brilliant. And we're going to have a look at a few of those this morning and how that works. But let's just quickly pray. Let's pray before we do that. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that your word is not just somebody's opinion, Lord, or some words on a paper, Lord, but it's alive and powerful, Lord. It's God-breathed, and thank you that when we submit ourselves to your word, Lord, that it changes us. It's life-giving. And this morning we thank you, Lord, that we can boldly draw near to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you, God, that not only that we're not here for somebody's opinion, God, but we're here to experience life, Lord, to be transformed into your image. And when we leave from this place, God, to look more like Christ and to have your glory manifest in and through us, Lord, and to grow in our understanding and relationship with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so we welcome you here, Lord, and we commit this time to you, Lord, and we ask that your name be glorified in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who knows what Jeremiah 29:11 says? Anybody? No prizes for that one, because it's one of our favorites, right? We love to quote it. Let me read it in any case. Cool picture, don't you think? Can you see it? Too much light here. Okay. But let me read it in any case. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we love this one, don't we? We quote it a lot, write it down all over the place. And it's great, guys. I'm not saying it's wrong. I have done the same. But it's very, very, not very often that we get the context of the letter that Jeremiah writes. And so we're going to look at that a bit. But in terms of our dreams of this year and our aspirations, you know, have you written down some things that you trust in God for? Have you thought of some things that you want to grow in this year? If you maybe not completely clear about, you know, what God is calling you for, and specifically this year, I've got good news. The one thing that you can be sure of is that God wants you to become more like Jesus this year. Isn't that exciting? And he's got a lot of grace for us to actually grow. And he's actually made provision for us to become like Christ. So that in itself is something to look forward to. But unfortunately, what we do, because we're living in a society that has kind of got its focus on a couple of, or mostly completely, worldly aspirations and stuff that's not going to last very long. We sometimes put our hope and our dreams, we fix them on the wrong things. And And we, you know, we kind of, you know, there's what. So the difference we're looking at this morning, as you can see, is the difference, or the, we're looking at two things. We're looking at false dreams and we're looking at true promises. So at the beginning of this year, it's still January, so at the beginning of this year, let's have a look at that. And the question I ask for us this morning is, are we depending on, or are we building our future on false dreams, or are we building our future on God's true promises? So we're going to look at those two. Now, dreams aren't bad, okay? Dreams are good. I mean, suppose those at night, not always, but if they're from God, they're good. I have this thing, I still walk in my sleep. Do you guys do that sometimes? I don't know. The other night, I was bugging Erna, my wife. I was telling her off about something, and I was scratching there next to her bed looking for something. In any case, yeah. Sometimes it's funny, but often it's not so funny, because I don't sleep, I don't rest. I wish I could be productive when I'm walking in my sleep. When I was in the Air Force, I woke up once in the morning and I had my ironing board out and my iron was on, which is a bit dangerous, I know. But I thought, wow, maybe I've ironed all my uniforms at night. That would be great. Then, you know, productivity. But no, I didn't get much further than putting it on. In any case, maybe that was a good thing. End up with a burnt uniform. But the one time, I woke up sitting on my bicycle. Yeah. That could have been interesting, eh? Any case, praise the Lord, I was still inside the flat where I was living, so that was okay. So how did I get onto that? Yes, dreams are good, okay? So I'm not saying dreams are bad. Our dreams and our aspirations, often that's what makes us, right? That's what points us in a direction. That's what drives us. So I'm saying, don't throw them all out the window, but let's focus them and let's channel them and let's focus our dreams and our aspirations on what is biblical and what is godly. Now, in terms of the context of this verse that we read, let's quickly read from 2 Kings. It'll give us a bit of context here. 2 Kings 24, 18 to 20 NIV. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 11 years. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah. She was from Libna. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done. It was because of the Lord's anger that all this happened to Jerusalem and Judah, and in the end, he thrust them from his presence. It was because of the anger of the Lord, the Lord's anger. Now, we see this king that did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and what had happened is there was kind of a couple of generations where the nation had turned away from God. They were into lots of idolatry, lots of dodgy stuff, and the king was doing evil. The one that was supposed to be leading them, he was doing evil. So it was not a good situation. And can you imagine how bad it must have been for the gracious and loving God that we know to actually come to a point where he just says, okay, guys, he actually thrust them, he cast them. In other words, translation, he cast them from his presence. This is quite a strong word. So there were serious problems here. And what happened is the Babylonians, who were at that stage taking over a big part of the east, they came and they took, you know, they invaded Judah, they took over Jerusalem, and they just wreaked havoc wherever they went, and they basically just took a massive part of the nation in bondage back to Babylon. They wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be any uprising. They just were taking over the whole place. So, and these guys were not your, you know, friendly neighborhood gang type of thing. They were like the most, some of the most vicious and cruel people around. I mean, the one time when they seized the, I don't know who it was, but they basically conquered this one nation, and they captured the king and all his whole family, and they just really cruel. They basically murdered all his sons in front of the king's eyes, you know, in his presence. And then they plucked out his eyes so that that would be the last thing he saw. And it's like really wacko guys, really, really cruel. And these are the guys now that are taken over here. And this letter that Jeremiah writes, that we read from in Jeremiah 29, he writes to the people that are now in bondage and in captivity in Babylon. Now, firstly, they had to walk there, guys. Okay, so this is like, I think it's just, it's about 1,000 miles or more. So, and by the time they got there, make get this picture, these guys had just walked hundreds of miles and they didn't get a lot of food. They were basically starving and they were basically, you know, almost dying. A lot of them died on the way because of the circumstances. So by the time they get there and everybody's gloating over them, everybody's rejoicing because they've kind of destroyed this nation, they are like the most pitiful picture that you can imagine. And they are now, in captivity in this new, in this nation. And imagine if it was them now starting a new year. I can guarantee they all they're thinking is, I don't want to be here. I want to be home. I want to be with my family. I want to, and now I'm sitting here, I'm in bondage, I'm in captivity, I almost didn't make it, I'm just survived. So it's not a beautiful picture right there. But what was happening is they had some prophets among them that were saying, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. And they were prophesying all these things about, you know, we're going to be back home soon and everything is going to be fine, which is what we tend to do. You know, we say, no, you know what, everything is going to be okay. And this is the way the good news is coming. But let's quickly read from the rest of the context of the letter of Jeremiah writes. And just imagine now that who he's writing it to, okay? These guys want to go home. They're liking these other prophets because of, they're giving them something to, you know, something that's tickling the ear, something that they want to hear. But unfortunately, not always what God is saying. Okay, now this is what he writes. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive to Jerusalem and Babylon. This happened from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. Okay. The letter was sent by hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I had to practice all these names. I think I got half of them wrong in any case. Saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Come home right away. You're going to be saved. No. Okay, so this is not the news. This is not what they wanted to hear. He says to them, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may be sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. Okay, so they were dreaming those, unfortunately, false dreams of going home. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Okay, so this is maybe not what they wanted to hear, but now we get to verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. That sounds, the picture's a bit different now. Eh? Let me just, sorry, I forgot to mention in the beginning, this message Pastor Tiens from Cape Town shared a couple of weeks ago, and it really, really blessed me, so I thought I'm going to try and bring across the gist of it to you guys, okay? So here we see, this is completely different picture now. We recognize that these guys definitely not wanted to be where they are, okay? They're in a pitiful state. They just want to go home. They just want to make it. They just want to survive. They're dreaming about their own homes and their own families and their own beds type of thing. And now this is the message that they get. But we can still see the goodness of God there. Can you see it? Him saying, listen, guys, I know this is horrible, but I know what I've planned for you. I know what I've got prepared for you. But let's have a look now. We're going to... the question this morning, are we building on false dreams, as you were talking about here? Are we listening to people that saying things that we like to hear? Or are we standing on the promise of God? Are we standing on the true promises that God gives us? Okay, now let's have a look at those two now. We're going to quickly look at these at false dreams. All right, just very briefly, false dreams do not take into account the reality of what is wrong. Okay. When we're building our future on false dreams, there's a place where we actually just want to avoid to be completely honest with ourselves. If there's something that God has convicted you of, that you must change in your life, that's one thing we're certain of, constant change, because we are busy being transformed into His image. If there's something that God has convicted you of, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I just want to ignore it, or I just want to avoid. I want to avoid that change because it is uncomfortable. I want to avoid that. So often when we're focusing on false dreams, we do not take into account the reality of what is wrong. And we're just wanting to avoid the facts and put our head in the sand type of thing. Have you ever seen an ostrich do that, by the way? Oh, interesting, eh? You believe the pictures. You haven't seen it. No, it's for real. Okay. When we say, those guys, I just want to get out of here. I don't want to be here. I just want to go back to the way things were. Right? Somewhere in the back of our minds, we've got this picture of a time in our lives where things were simple and easy and predictable and it was great. And something in our back of our minds wants to go back there. Okay. Guys, that's not real, okay? It's never going to happen, especially if you're a parent. I've found, until my kids are out of the house, my nights are not going to look the same, okay? But that's okay, praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue on. So we want to go back to the way things were, but that is a bit of a pipe dream, okay? God has got better things in store, so why do we want to go back? Okay, secondly, false dreams do not take a change of heart and a change of life into account. So we often, we think, we look at our circumstance and we look at what's going on around us, and I'm thinking, I just wish, things were the way they were before. I just want to that other boss that I was working with, or if I can just get a new neighbor, this neighbor that I got now, or this boss that I have now. We want to always think, looking at what's wrong around us, and we want that to change, right? But what we're actually saying is, I wish I was still in control. I wish we can go back to when I was calling the shots, or if it was ever the case. But the challenge there is, if we be honest with what we see in Scripture, God requires us, He wants us to grow, and that requires us to change. So instead of looking at our, so false dreams make us wonder, don't take into account that I must change. Don't take into account that I have to make a change in heart. I have to have a change in heart. I have to make a change in the way I live or my habit or whatever. And you always look at everything else around us. I know you guys don't have that problem. I found in my own life, I struggle with that sometimes. False dreams are often self-absorbed and comfort-focused. So if you can imagine these guys being in that horrible situation, they just want to go back to where things were comfortable. They just want to go back to where they, you know, where things are familiar. And these prophets actually were prophesying into that in line with that. So they were just basically telling them what they wanted to know. And so they're building their dreams on, and mostly all of that stuff is very much self-focused. Looking on what's good for me. And if we really connect with God about our lives and about our future, you will find that His purpose and His desire and His hope and plan for your life goes way beyond only your little comfort zone and only what is nice and comfortable and easy for us. Are you with me? When we connect with the heart of God, we realize, wow, His kingdom and His glory and His purpose goes way beyond my little life and even my little family and even my little sphere of influence and even my lifetime. It's so much more. There's so much that He has for us. Okay. False dreams always wish for escape from the here and now. Okay, so I can just imagine, guys, yeah, obviously this was a hectic time. The guys just made it. They were almost dead. And they don't want to be there. I just want to get out of here. I just want to go home. I just want to, you know, be in a place that I know. How often do we think like that in a work situation or in a tough spot? Don't worry, I'm getting to the good news, guys. Just hang in there. You know, we're in a tough spot, or you know, things are not going the way we thought. We're a little bit discouraged. There's something in us that wants to just go somewhere else. We just want to get out of it. And then those guys probably just were gonna. Obviously, they wanted to go home. And so often the false dreams, you know, they again don't look at the change that needs to happen. They just want to escape from the here and now. Okay, let's go on. Okay, true promises. I'm getting to the good stuff. True promises are dependent on the grace of God. I've got a challenge for you for this year. Before I challenge you, often, you know, when somebody comes to me and they say, you know what, I've dreamt or I've had a word or I think I know what God has for my life, and or, you know, I've, you know, whatever it is, starting a business or going in a certain direction or studying something or whatever it is, and I, you know, hear them out and I ask, you know, so do you feel you can do it? You know, is it possible for you? Say, yeah, no, I've got the right skills. I've got everything sorted. I know. I think this is what God is telling me to do. And I ask them, do you feel you can do it? You know, is it possible? And they say, yeah. Then I think, can I go and pray again? Because often when I've experienced when God speaks to us and gives us something, it's normally impossible to do in our own strength. It's impossible to do as things are now. So true promises completely depend upon God, completely depend on the grace of God. When you get a promise from God and you think, well, wow, this is a stretch, you know, I don't know how this is going to happen, then the chances are good it's from Him. When you get a word and you think, sure, I don't know, chances on, you know, this seems impossible, then you know what, chances are that's from God. So true promises rely on the grace of God, are dependent upon Him. And it cannot happen without His intervention. It cannot happen without His grace manifesting in our lives. And that in itself is exciting. I don't know who said this, but there's a quote that says, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. And it's as if when we kind of, we've got our own dreams and our own aspirations, we've got, you know, maybe, you know, career ambition, etc. If that stays within your comfort zone, within what you and I can accomplish, it will be indeed a very small package. Are you with me? When we're only focusing on what is possible within my capacity, it's going to be indeed very small, a very little thing. Okay. The two promises are focused on the future and the eternal. Often, you know, instead of us, you know, focusing on my comfort zone and where I'm at, true promise of God is always got, it's got a bit of a bigger picture. It's got a bit of a eternal focus. Other people's lives, well, we're going to get to that. But it goes way beyond my own environment, goes way beyond my own family. It focuses on what lies ahead and what God has prepared and what God is calling us to. So there's always an element of eternal purpose in it. Not only the here and now, not only focusing on surviving or making it or just enduring. Enduring is good, but God has called us to overcome, all right? So there are seasons of just enduring, just standing, yes. But there's also a place where God calls us beyond that, okay? Okay, true promises give hope to others. So it's not inward focused. When I've got my dreams and my hopes and my little plans are mostly focused on me and my comfort zone. But His promises always are a blessing to everybody else as well. If we look at even stuff like the gifts of the Spirit that He blesses us with, they're meant to be a blessing to the whole body. They're meant to be, they're designed to bless everybody. He speaks of rivers of living water flowing from us. Okay, so they give hope and they give life to others when it's from God. Okay, and true promises wish for the transformation of the here and now. So instead of wishing to escape from the here and now, which false dreams do, true promises mean, okay, we're trusting for transformation. Yes, I'm in a difficult situation. Okay, God, how do you want to transform this environment? Is the place that I'm in, are the people that I'm with, are they going to be better off? Are they going to be closer to God when I leave here? What transformation is going to happen in my street while I'm living there? What life is happening there because I've got life in me, because I've got Christ in me? What transformation am I trusting for in my situation, in my environment, in my family, in my work place of work? Guys, I just want to say, you guys are very fortunate, most of you working with unbelievers or non-Christians. I love the people I work with, but they're all believers. Hey, isn't that boring? That's not boring. It can be very exciting, but it's there's a blessing in being able to be salt and light in your everyday workplace and to stand in faith and to partner with God for transformation to happen in your situation. So instead of an escape from it, true promises wish for the transformation of the here and now. Okay. Okay, so let's just have a look at what happened there. And before we do that, maybe one of the challenges I want to lay before us this year is just to identify some comfort zones and to trust God and to pray around it. We're going to pray at the end as well, but to trust God to step out of them, to step out of those comfort zones. The comfort zone, when I'm in my comfort zone, I manage, right? Everything is okay. I can handle it. I don't know, maybe, I don't know if moms have a comfort zone. I don't think so. But, in a comfort zone, I've got everything under control. I call the shots and I can handle everything within my capacity and my ability. And again, it's small, guys. It's little. It's very limited. But when we step out of there, I truly need God. I truly need to depend on Him. I truly need to say, Lord, I don't have any plan B. I'm trusting in You. And you know what? That's when the glory of God is manifested. Because that's when His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's when His name is glorified. That comfort zone can become a prison. It limits us. It's kind of almost keeps us in bondage when we stay in there. So I want to say to us, let it be one of the challenges that we hold before ourselves, and we're going to pray at the end. What is that comfort zone that you and I can step out of this year? Okay. Let's look at the result that came from this time of exile. Okay, 70 years. Okay, when they arrived there, very sorry-looking bunch of just making it people. Okay, not very inspiring at all. But remember why did it all happen? It's because there was a lot of idol worship, because there was serious evil happening in the place, because there was like the people weren't following God, and there was lots of horrible things happening. And let's have a look at the result of that. Okay, firstly, there was true worship. And this is quite interesting. This is not something I know about. A guy like Tiens is the guy that kind of goes and studies these things, and he says when we look at the archaeological record of the time before the exile, because obviously you know they're digging up stuff and they can tell which time is which and there's layers and stuff, and they found that there's serious lots of evidence of idol worship before the exile. But after the exile, it stops. Bang. No more idols. And it shows how the heart of the nation turned back to God. They got rid of the idols. And even in the archaeological record, there's no evidence that you know it's clear that there wasn't any idol worship anymore. That people, their hearts turned back to God, and the true worship was restored in the nation. And we can even see in the promises that in the Jeremiah 29, and it says, "When you seek me with all your heart," and that's what started to happen. People were seeking God with all their heart. They were suddenly letting go of all the stuff on the side, and were saying, "Lord, I seek you with everything I got. I seek your face. I seek the Lord." Okay. Secondly, there was a just society. I just quickly want to read from Nehemiah. Nehemiah lived towards. Like the time where they were restoring the city and they were restoring the wall of Jerusalem, and Lord gave him incredible favor. You must go and read it again. It's really miraculous what happened there. But often we miss this bit, and it's just about, actually, I'll just read it very quickly. But basically, there was a lot of poverty. A lot of people were in debt. There was a lot of pressure on them as a society to, because of, you know, there were rich guys getting richer and there was, you know, lots of poor people. Okay, then I said, "What you're doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves and their houses. Also a hundredth of the money and the grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them." So they said, "We will restore it. And we will require nothing from them. We will do as you say." Then I called the priests and we required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus they may be shaken out and emptied. So we see incredible thing here. I don't know if there's another time in history that this happened. Is that all the guy, that every debt was written off. And people gave back stuff that they have claimed as a result of debts. And they even restored some of the interest that they charged. How's that? Imagine if that would happen in this country. Economically, it would just be a massive blessing. So that's what happened there. And how about that for justice? How's that for the people choosing to say, let's just level the playing field here. Let's just get some justice here. Amazing. And then thirdly, we see that there was truly a transformation that happened. The people started responding to the word, and they started actually being transformational. They started actually transforming the society in which they were living. And we see evidence of this way down the line at the birth of Christ. You know how we speak about the wise men? Okay. Okay, they were actually from Babylon. Okay, they were from that side. And it says here, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." So somewhere, there was incredible legacy that was left behind in Babylon, where those Jews that were living there were living their faith in such a powerful way that these guys knew and could identify Christ when he was born, where nobody else could, basically, except those where the angels appeared to. I mean, we know, obviously, that some couldn't identify even until the day where they crucified him. But these guys, there was such a legacy of God in that city that these guys could actually come and they could identify it. And how powerful is that? That those Jews, and I mean, we know of the guys like Daniel and his friends that lived in a way that transformed the society around them. They could, and even to a place where God could put them into places of incredible authority in the nation, where they could actually really see massive transformation happening in the nation. Can you imagine that picture of Daniel being almost like second in charge in the nation, and going from, you know, that's where they ended up, and starting from this kind of just made it, just survived, just, you know, struggling into the town there in chains, you know, being jeered at. And do you see how powerful that transformation was that happened after the people took to heart the word of God and stood on the promise of God and decided to walk in obedience to his call and actually establish themselves and pray for the city and pray for the nation? Incredible transformation happened. Incredible, not escape from the situation, but absolute transformation of the situation they were in. Let's stand this morning and we're going to pray together. And basically, yeah, that's what I want to ask. That's like as we said before, who is the place you're at now? Is it going to be transformed? Is there going to be change? Are people going to be blessed? Are they better off when you leave? Are they closer to God when you and I are finished there? Or am I just hoping to have a new neighbor because this one's cat uses my lawn as a toilet? Is there, you know, are people, is our community going to miss us? Is our community, as you know, us as a church, are we doing everything we can to bring transformation in our community? Not only here, but every place we're representing, every place where we're living, where we're working. Are we trusting for that transformation? So this morning, I just want us to take a moment to pray, and then I'm just going to pray very briefly, and then I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to maybe sit down and just trust God to speak to you, each person individually, about those comfort zones. Amen. So let's just pray, and then I'm going to give you just moments. Okay, Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your conviction, Lord, that we shouldn't build our future on false dreams, God. This morning we want to choose to stand on your promise that is true, Lord, your promise that will come to pass, God. So many amazing promises that you have for us. And I pray even now in the name of Jesus, as we pray, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to every heart, that you'd show us, God, those comfort zones that we've created, Father, those comfort zones that are becoming prisons, Lord, that bind us, Lord, that keep us captive. I pray that you'd speak to every heart, Lord, and show us which are those that comfort zones that you want us to get out of and break free of this year, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to sit down for a moment, but I want to encourage you, please, just to draw near to God just for a moment and pray and ask him. We're going to pray at the end. We're going to minister. But just take a moment to ask God, what is that comfort zone that he wants us to get out of? Thanks. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your conviction, Lord, and we thank you. I pray, Lord, for boldness for us to write these things down, Lord, to not only hear your voice, God, but be trusting you for grace to obey what you tell us, Lord, and to obey us, to obey you, Father, and to thank you, Lord, that not only do you call us out of comfort zone, but you give us grace, Lord, to walk free of them, Lord, to give us grace to walk, to step out of the boat like Peter did, Lord, and into a whole new dynamic of trusting you and seeing miracles happen all around us, God. So we ask for that in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. When I was praying through this, one of the things that Lord challenged me with was that some parts of my life, it's as if I've, in some areas, just been happy with just making it, just kind of maintaining or just surviving. And I haven't seen the movie, but there's a movie out now, apparently 12 Years a Slave or something like that. And I just heard the one line they use in the trailer. It says that, he says, I don't want to survive, I want to live. And God has not called us just to survive. He's not called us just to live or just to maintain. I was challenged by that, and I feel that even can become a comfort zone where we just maintain, we just make it, we just, you know, just want to survive. And I want to challenge us, you know, that's part of the reason why we have small groups, that we can stand with each one another, that we can encourage one another, that we can pray for one another, that we can walk that road, that I can share this with somebody in my small group and say, listen, this is the comfort zone I'm in, and this is the one I got to get out of this year. Please stand in faith with me. Walk this road. Ask me, how's it going? Am I in it? Am I getting out of it? So I want to challenge you guys. I want to encourage you, if you're not yet in a small group or you're looking for one, please, guys, this is absolutely crucial for our walk, is to hold each other accountable, to stand in faith together, and to see God's deliverance and see his faithfulness, and to share in that. Amen. Let's just close as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can trust for good fruit, Lord, of every seed sown in our hearts this morning, in the name of Jesus. Lord, our desire, Lord, is to become like Christ. Our desire, Lord, is to grow. Our desire is to go forward, Lord, and to know you more and to flourish. Lord, your word says that we would are planted in your house, that we can flourish in your courts, God. And I thank you for that this year, for us to be planted in your house, in church, in small group, in so many ways, established so that we can experience abundance of life, so that we can flourish, that we can bear fruit, Lord, that will bring glory to your name. So thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And I pray in the name of Jesus for that as we walk in obedience, Lord, that you'd show us people that we can trust, that we can can hold us accountable, Lord, that we can walk this road with us. I pray for those of us that are a little bit isolated, Lord. I pray, thank you for grace, Lord, to slot into groups, Lord, into the family, Lord. I pray that you'd draw us into the fold, Lord, that we would be able to experience the blessing, Lord, of the body, the blessing of the family, God. And as we seek your face together, God, in Jesus' name, let your name be glorified. Amen. Amen. If you have any prayer need or do you want to agree about what we've prayed about, please come to the front and we'd minister to you. If you're sick or whatever the challenge is, I don't have the answer, but I know God has. And he still heals. Amen. And he still delivers us and he still provides. He hasn't changed his mind about those things. So whatever your need is, join us in the front and we'd love to minister to you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Join us for some fellowship just outside. And we'll see you soon. Okay, blessings.